Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Set Your HMA Consulting Practice Apart from the Rest Using This One Word. Cherie received her HMA system a couple weeks ago and has already landed her first client, who signed on for all 8 steps at $3,000 per step, and with 2 more ready to sign up as well. She's well on her way to becoming the female HMA star. But the most amazing part of her story is that she's doing it in an area where consultants are a dime a dozen. And in this audio interview, you'll hear exactly how she separated herself from the rest. Because the marketing seat was taken at her BNI chapter, Cherie decided to go by the implementer, but it's how she defined that role that has made her an overnight success. With her definition, prospects instantly get how the HMA system is different and why they'll want to be part of it. In fact, Cherie has asked 7 qualified business owners for an opportunity analysis, and all but one said yes. And in this audio interview, you'll hear exactly how she's doing it. You'll also hear the single most important thing she's learned from other marketing consultants that's helped propel her to a fast start with the HMA system. You'll learn what to say to prospects to let them know you stand by your guarantee. You'll learn how Cherie bartered a deal with her printer to get $9,000 worth of commercial printing services. You'll learn exactly what Cherie did to overcome her fears and land her first client. You'll learn the amazing networking channel Cherie uses to get a list of qualified prospects. You'll learn the number one thing Cherie recommends you do for 1 hour a day that'll instantly impress prospects. Cherie says the one thing she loves about the HMA system is that she knows she's not alone. Although she doesn't see any problems, it's comforting to know that if she does, she's got the whole HMA community behind her to solve them. Cherie solved a problem consultants are facing today, how to differentiate themselves so the prospects get it. And in this audio, you'll hear why you might want to go by the title of the implementer as well. Now let's get going. Thank you very much for taking the time to write your story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I want to thank you for everything you've done for the community. There's just so much that's part of that HMA program, and I really just wanted to share it, especially from a woman's perspective. But Richard is very soft. I really like the fact that he explains why we're doing things and not just say, just do this. So I think the other thing is it really does take work on our parts, because we do have to learn the system, and we do have to listen to the audio recordings. And I found that when I did that, I was able to articulate it to the clients that I have and to the prospects that I have, and their eyes just opened and they lit up. It was because I was prepared. And that's one of the things that I hope that you will let me express during this interview is this is not just get this and sit on your ass. It really is get this and listen to it, even if it's just an hour an evening. But you will really impress the people that you're meeting with. But it's organized so well. And there are a couple of things that I really liked about this program. One of them was the execution and the implementation. And I have a problem with consultants that just write reports. And I didn't want to do that. So when I started my business development business, I coined myself the implementer. And that was before I even purchased the HMA system. And people are like, wow, that's what's attracting people to me. And then the second thing is the guarantee. I was speaking with a marketing business associate of mine, and he calls himself a marketing strategist and consultant. And I said, well, would you guarantee your work? And he said, no. And that always bugged me. If you are a marketing consultant and if your premise is, I'm going to do this work for you and it's going to bring in more leads for you, why would you not guarantee some faction of your work? I really wanted to have a guarantee, and now with Richard's system, I'm able to guarantee, you know, with the right set of circumstances, that the person will get results. And I really, really like that. At least in the Washington, D.C. area, consultants are a dime a dozen around here. And so many people hire consultants, and I want to be able to say something that's different. And by me saying I guarantee my work, it really gets the business owner to give me a lot more credibility. versus, you know, oh, I'm going to come in here, but I can't guarantee anything's going to happen after you pay me $6,000 or $9,000. I wouldn't hire that, so I don't expect anyone else to.
How did you find my site, or how did you get introduced to the HMA system from the beginning? Do you remember?
Well, I found your site probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and I've been listening to various parts of the HardToFindSeminars.com as far as the free interviews that you have.
I want to ask you, in what manner do you listen? How do you listen? Do you listen in front of the computer? Do you download? Do you burn CDs? How do you do it?
I listen in front of the computer.
Okay.
So I had a desk job for 5 years. So when I was sitting at work, I would just pull your website up and basically press play. Other people were listening to music. I was listening to Michael Senoff.
Good job. That is great.
Yes, but those audios enabled me to help grow my mother's business. My mother and I own a bookkeeping business.
I saw the website, and I saw your mom. It looks great.
Yes, and she was full-time in the business, and I was part-time. She would service the clients and go to networking events, and I would go to networking events and bring clients to her. We did that for about 3.5 years. And then I was able to join her full-time in the business. When I started in the business, my goal was to increase the average customer size that we had. And I did that within a year. I doubled our business. I was very successful, but it bit me in the butt. Because I have a background in finance, I was pulled out of sales, which I loved, and ended up having to actually do the QuickBooks work. Because we specialize in the QuickBooks software, and I hated it. You know, I was writing people's bills and dealing with their vendors and all of that, and I just said, this is not me. So 2 weeks ago, she allowed me to go back to business development, and I ended up listening to the HMA information again. And, of course, I wavered on the fence. I pulled up the website several times and saw the trial offer and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to do it on my own. And then I thought one day, well, this is crazy. Richard's system could shave 2 to 3 years off my learning curve. And I had a prospect meeting coming up, and I just decided to join the HMA family. And it's been the best decision I've ever made.
I appreciate it. Thank you for saying that. That's great. So tell me, how did you get your first client? Did you use your own hidden marketing assets, or did you go out looking for other clients first?
Well, the truth is, I thought about doing the cold calling and going out, but my mother and I have been in business for 5 years. We have a huge network. I started calling people that I knew and just introducing what I was doing. And one of our largest clients actually worked for him in our bookkeeping business. And when I let him know what I was doing, he seemed intrigued by it. But I was kind of scared to ask him to allow me to do an opportunity analysis. And I sat on the fence for a couple of weeks. And finally, one day I said, I'm going to be brave. He was sitting in my office. And I said, I would love to do an opportunity analysis with you. And he said, I'm so glad you asked me. I didn't think you would accept me as a client.
Now, I want to ask you, the fear, what were you telling yourself? What was going on in your head? What was the fear saying and keeping you from asking him about it?
The fear was saying that this gentleman was successful. And even though I saw a need for my services in his business, I thought he would never hire me. He's successful. He has a $4 million business. And it was just head noise. It was nonsense. What we have to offer as far as executing is just so valued. And I guess I was just chicken.
Yeah, know? And you know what? And you were just getting into it. And maybe you didn't realize the value of what you could offer with the system because you were new. But maybe even after you had gone through it and really seen the power that you had and what you could do for the business, you could probably quash some of those fears.
Exactly. And what I learned from that one experience was always ask for the opportunity analysis appointment. And now whenever I meet someone or I'm talking to someone and they have a business that's doing $500,000 or more and they've been in business for 5 years or more, I always introduce the HMA system and ask if they would like to sit down with me and discuss the opportunity analysis. And out of about 6 or 7 people that I've done that with, only one person has said no to me.
You just got to ask.
You just have to ask, exactly. And like I said, people are just hungry for the information and hungry for someone who's going to come in and actually implement and not just talk. And because I'm dealing with people that I know or people that I'm networking with and dealing with belly-to-belly and face-to-face, I think that a little bit of my character comes through as being trustworthy. And maybe it's because I'm a girl. I don't know. But I definitely use that to my advantage.
So you set the opportunity analysis up. Did you set it up right away, a week later? How did you set the stage for that, and where did it take place?
I set it up right away, and we actually sat down the next day to talk. I work out at his site doing the bookkeeping work. So he has a conference room there, and we went into the conference room, and we talked about all the steps of the HMA.
Did you have a copy in your hand to follow, or did you print two of them?
I only printed one.
Okay, so you had yours, and you kind of followed that as an outline.
Yes, but the truth is that once we started talking, he started veering off into a lot of other things that he wanted done as well, which was very interesting. One of the things that Richard says is your clients are going to ask you to do different things or additional things. And as HMA consultants, we have to be flexible with that. So I followed the HMA system, but I also allowed that client to let me know other things that he felt was very important to him.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Even though he was veering off, were you able to get through the opportunity analysis in some sequential order?
Yes. You know, I don't know if it was sequential, but we got through everything, and I made sure that we got through everything before we finished.
As he was listening to that, you were discussing what was some of the body language you were seeing and hearing from him.
Well, it's an auto repair shop, so they have a USP, but it's not really filtered through the salespeople. They have a lot of customers coming in and out on a daily basis, so they do have a database. They do some marketing. They do sponsorships of sporting events, but it's all over the place. And this guy has been following Dan Kennedy for years. So everything that he's doing is just very much all over the place. And it's not cohesive. It needs basically somebody to head it up and to have the choir singing the same tune because everything's all over the place. So that was really the big opportunity that I saw. He has some opportunities with his database. He has some opportunities with the community marketing, with the direct response marketing that he's doing, with alliances in the local area. Every aspect, every step or project is something that I can do.
And it's clear that he wants someone to do it for him because he's all over the place.
Absolutely.
How did you charge him? Did you charge him for Core 4, all the projects, a couple of them?
Very interesting because he wanted to bring me on as a full-time employee, and I refused.
Good job. Remember that happened to Richard, too, in his earlier days.
Well, I heeded Richard's warning, and I said no. But what we ended up compromising on was 8 months. So we're basically going to do all 8 steps. And they're not necessarily going to be sequential because he has a lot of stuff happening already. But I'm going to be receiving $3,000 a month for a project for my services.
Very good. So let me ask you this. So when you negotiated per month, you're selling the project work and estimating it's going to take about a month to do each project. I mean, what are his expectations from you? I'm just trying to look at time for money here.
Right. His expectations for me is he gave me a listing of things that he would like done over the next 8 months. There will be a lot of upfront work. One of the additional things he wants me to do is write a business plan and prepare a marketing plan and a marketing budget for 2011, which is right up my alley, so I can do that very easily. What we decided on as far as time for money, he did ask me, and he kept asking me how many hours he's going to put in. So I did have to commit to a certain amount of hours.
What did you tell him? I'm just curious.
I told him 25 hours a week. However, I would only do 6 hours on site, and the remaining 19 hours I am able to do off site. So I'm able to work in the evenings. I'm able to work on the weekends. A lot of the stuff I'm doing as far as the business plan and the joint ventures and things like that don't require me sitting in his office. I just wanted to keep my time flexible as well because I have two other prospects that are probably going to sign, and I wanted to make sure that I could maximize my time for all of them.
Okay, look, I mean, 3 times 8, that's $24,000 project over the next 8 months. I would be careful next time. Don't paint yourself into a corner as an hourly contractor or consultant, because he wanted to get hours. How many hours? Where that's what you want to get away from. You want to do value-based consultative selling, and hours don't come into play. You're selling projects. That's what allows you to really make the money, because once you get good, it will definitely not take 100 hours in a month. I mean, you said 25 hours a week, did you say?
I said 25 hours.
Yeah, that's 100 hours a month per project. Realistically, you're going to be able to get through these projects much faster than that, and that's how you're going to really take on more clients and get more done.
And that's the reason why I just told him I'd do 6 hours in his office and the other hour. I know him. As long as the results are coming, he's not going to nickel and dime.
Right, right. Okay, very good. But you can see how someone paying for services want to know what they're paying for because they're used to paying people by the hour, even if it's salary. But that's great. Okay, so you got a couple more prospects. Did you do another opportunity analysis where you have someone who's ready to sign again?
I do. I have a printer who I did an opportunity analysis for on Sunday. And I gave her a proposal today. This is the barter situation that we talked about. However, I think that it's a really good strategic move for me because I can get printer credits. There would be transferable. And at the end of 6 months, I would have $9,000 worth of printer credits.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to get business cards, brochures, all sorts of things done professionally. And this is a really nice, high-quality printer.
What you did was great. You bartered your consulting services. And that is absolutely, in today's economy, a winning formula. Businesses who don't have the cash or don't want to outlay the cash, you trade for their services. And it's very smart by getting the credits where you can transfer them and sell them. So now you have an asset that you can transfer into cash. You could sell it off. You could do a trade, whatever you want to do with it, which is great.
Well, which I learned from you.
That's great. That's great. That printer, so your barter deal is retail for retail, meaning if you walk into the print shop and you want them to make you some copies and it's 12 cents a copy, you know, what's the value exchange that you're trading for? You're trading your consulting services at a retail. You know, there's retail and there's wholesale and there's cost. Did you establish what pricing you're going to get? Is it their pricing to any walk-in customer or a corporate client or what?
It will be pricing for a corporate client. And the idea is, well, I was considering using those credits myself for my business, but they do a lot of business cards and signs, brochures and newsletters and things like that. It's not a printer like a Kinko's.
It's like a commercial printer.
Yes, it is a commercial printer, I'm sorry, where you would call in and you would say, this is what I need, and they would print it for you and deliver it.
So you said you've done 5 or 6 opportunity analyses.
I've asked. I have one that I'm actually doing tomorrow with a painting company that's
mm-hmm.
very interested in hiring me. I have another one that I am doing with, they do employee screenings, and that one is going to be coming up next week.
Tell me about those two situations, how it is you were able to ask. Did you pick up the phone and call? Were you in front of them? Did you have an appointment with them? Set the stage for maybe the other consultants who have opportunities but maybe miss them so they can see how it's done.
The number one thing I will say is whenever people are asking you, how are you doing or what are you up to now, let them know. So for the painting company, I am actually a part of a mastermind group, a local Dan Kennedy mastermind, and everyone is allowed to share what they're up to and show their marketing materials and things like that. And I brought to the table that this is what I was doing. And one of the business owners is actually a couple, but the husband was very interested he kept saying, I've got to meet with you, I've got to meet with you. What you're doing is exactly what I need.
Is it a big mastermind group? I've heard of these groups. I know a couple people who run them, the Dan Kennedy mastermind groups.
Yeah, there's usually about 7 businesses in there, but this particular month it was a little slower, so there were only 4. You got extra time.
And so you stood up, and how long do you get to kind of talk about what you do?
We freeform, so it was probably about 40 minutes.
But y'all have set an appointment?
We have set an appointment. He knows I'm the implementer. That's what everyone is calling me.
I love it.
And it's really funny, just to give you an aside, the people I met tonight are my B&I chapter, and if everyone is familiar with B&I, everyone is given a name for the seat that they will hold. And I put in business development because the marketing seat is technically taken for my chapter, and the membership committee came back and said, we want to give you the implementer seat. And I thought, well, at least I'd be the only person in B&I with that seat across the country.
Tell me how that works. I am familiar with B&I. I've never been to one. I've listened to some of the founders' interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you go there, how is it that you're given a seat? What does that mean?
What that means is within B&I, there are chapters all across the world. And within each chapter, you can only have one person from each profession represented. So, for example, there'll only be one realtor, one mortgage broker, one financial planner, one business coach, one marketing consultant.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
And one implementer. And marketing seats actually are taken in only about 50% of the chapters. But, of course, there are no implementers.
See, that is just brilliant, because implementing is a whole different category.
It is.
A lot of marketing consultants are just giving consulting and giving ideas and advice.
Well, I hope and pray that the marketing consultants that's part of my chapter does not hear this, but I will tell you that we had a conversation, and basically he's a graphic designer. And, you know, you tell him what you want, he'll create a nice brochure for you, basically what it is. And I asked him, well, do you guarantee your work? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, if you are my marketing consultant and you produce this brochure for me, will you guarantee that I'll get more leads? And he said, no. And this was over a year ago that I asked him that. And he'll charge you, you know, $1,000, $2,000-plus dollars in order to create this brochure. And I thought, well, why would I hire you if you won't guarantee your work? But they don't. And I always thought that that was very interesting. So going back to the HMA system, I love the fact that when we find these marketing assets, we are able to at least guarantee our fee. And that gives me so much power in a meeting with someone, when I'm able to say, look, I'm so confident that I can help you that I'm willing to put my fee on the line.
That's great. So B&I, that chapter for you, they okayed your seat as the implementer.
Well, it's still being voted on, but it seems like it's going to go that way.
Maybe that could lead the way for other chapters, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So other HMA consultants, you can be the implementer.
Okay, that's excellent. Okay, so which opportunity analysis did you establish from your B&I group? The painter was from your Kennedy Glazer group.
From my Glazer Kennedy group. The auto repair shop, which is my first client, that was from my B&I group. The printer is also from my B&I group.
And your B&I group, kind of paint the stage for people who are considering doing a B&I to generate clients. What was your seat before the implementer, if there was a marketing guy there?
I was a bookkeeper. Yeah, so I represented my mother's business.
So did you pitch your HMA when you went around, or did you just have to keep it with the bookkeeping?
Well, as long as I was doing bookkeeping, I just kept it with the bookkeeping. Right now, because we have a marketing person in my B&I group, I don't use the term marketing. I use the term business development. So I am strategic with that. In our area, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, business development really stands for a lot, because a lot of businesses want to get into new markets and things like that. So it really works for me here. We have a business coach in my B&I chapter as well. But what you do is during every meeting, you have 45 seconds to stand up and tell the group who you are, what you do, how you can help their businesses, and a great referral for you. And the idea is for people to find referrals and bring them to you. So the way that I phrase it is the business coach is the one that gets you pumped up, gets you motivated, gets you enthusiastic about your business. But when it comes to rolling up his sleeves and making the calls necessary in order to grow your business, he's not going to do that. That's when you need the implementer, and that's when you call me, and people get it.
Yeah, that is good.
Yes, and there's nobody doing it.
You're right. That's just brilliant, because you've heard Richard talk about that's what separates the HMA system from the other consultants, is that we're going to do it for you. We're going to implement for you.
Right.
But you've just honed it down into one word, the implementer.
Exactly.
And people get that. So you're okay with other HMA consultants kind of using that?
Absolutely. One of the things that I love about you and about the HMA system is that there's a community behind it. And I was speaking to some people today, and they were talking about, tell me some past clients you've had and things like that. And one of the things I was able to say is, I have a community of people. I'm very smart. I'm very good at what I do. But if I ever run into a problem, I have a community of HMA consultants worldwide that I can contact, and they can give me information. So even though I'm in business for myself, I'm not in business by myself. And I always know that I can reach out to you, and you can reach out to whomever necessary to help me. And I think that we as HMA consultants really should flaunt that and use that, because not a lot of people can say that. Well, I know that you had a call. One of the HMA consultants was having a little trouble with the UST. You and Richard were able to just chat with him for a few minutes and help really guide him. That's what I really love about the community itself.
Any opportunity analysis that we have not talked about that you've done?
Not that I've done. I really love Dave Flannery, his conference calls. And one of the things that I love about him is just, you know, the fact that he's very goal-driven and very focused. And there are a couple of things that I've picked up with him. One of the big things that I promised myself that I will do no matter how busy I am is I will do one opportunity analysis a week, no matter how busy I am, because that keeps our sales skills sharp. And then, you know, you and I have spoken about this. Right now I am doing a lot of the front work just because I want to know what it feels like to make calls, to reactivate customers and things like that. But eventually I want to streamline myself out of that entire process. And my big goal is I've always wanted to buy companies and have the cash flow from them. And you have an audio in HMA University from somebody who is doing that. And, you know, all of a sudden I was so excited. I'm like, somebody else is doing this. I can hear, you know, I can listen to what they're doing.
Buying the businesses and the consulting, is that not the perfect marriage?
It is the perfect marriage, because I'll tell you, my mother, again, owns this bookkeeping company, and we were in her office, and she said, Cherie, I'm stuck, and she started to cry, and she said, I have to be here every day in order for this business to run, and I don't want you to be in the same position when you're 61.
Your mom told you this.
My mom told me that, and it just broke my heart, and I just said, you know what, I'm not going to be in the position where I have to sign up another client in order to make the rent or the mortgage or eat next month. So my intention is, my plan is to spend the first year of my HMA life just doing projects, really honing the system, getting really good at the system, and then for the next 9 years, buying businesses that are doing marginally, that can't be sold, and basically implementing the HMA system within those businesses and being able to have that passive income. And I'm really listening to the Art Hamill information.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the negotiating information.
Jim Camp, is that amazing?
It is amazing.
You got to listen to that one multiple times. Every time I listen to that, that is one of my favorite all-time interviews.
Yes, Mike, you've just done such a great job. There's so much the site and so much that you've given to us, and I know that we're all really busy. Even if we just take a half an hour a day and just listen to something, at the end of the year, we would be just so much smarter and brighter, and we would be in the elite 1% of business people, and then implement.
Do you exercise or go walking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you?
I have another iPod.
You do have an iPod?
I do, but it's all full of music. I need one just for my HMA business. Oh. I will get another one and just put all of my HMA lessons on there. And I really believe it's about hearing an idea. For example, I was listening to one of your interviews about incentive programs, and I said, this would be perfect for my auto repair shop. So I broached the idea with the owner, and I said, look, I want to really set up some sort of an incentive program for your salespeople. And he was intrigued by it.
That was Paul Flood. You've probably heard his name already, maybe in
mm-hmm.
the calls. He was an HMA consultant.
Yeah, so there's so many ideas on there, and I'm just really excited to be able to use the ideas for clients and actually help them grow.
Well, that's great. You know, I'm really glad you called. I'm very happy you're excited. You get it. I mean, you definitely get it. You see the value there. You're having some success, and I encourage you. You know, I'd love for you to be my next star, like Dave Flannery. I mean, what a maniac he is. I mean, I wish everyone could be like him.
Well, I would love to be the female Dave Flannery. Probably not as aggressive as that.
That would be great.
Yeah. But I would love to, you know, have periodic calls with you, and especially, like I said, encourage women. Even if a woman has children and she just wants to do this part-time, she could pick up one client and work 5 hours a week and make $3,000 a project. The opportunities are just endless with something like this. I'm going to be doing more opportunity analyses, and I'll email you. And if you want to do another interview.
Absolutely, yeah, let's do it. Call me back in a month, and let's do a part two.
Fantastic.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. That's the end of our recording with Cherie. I hope this has been helpful. Please, if you need any more information, contact Michael at michaelsinoff.com and go listen to all the other recordings at the HMA University. There's so much content there that can help you, and I hope this interview has been helpful. Thanks for listening.